Reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sutta Uvacha Upadaya Vichastasya Bhagavan Bhaktavatsala Apadavam Idam Kartum Janir Ashtam Abhudyata. I'm trying to mute the phone, but it's not working. Sutta Goswami said, having patiently heard her words, Lord Sri Krishna, who is always very affectionate to his devotees, did at once understand that Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, had thrown the Brahmastra to finish the last life in the Pandu family. Purport. The Lord is impartial in every respect, but still he is inclined towards his devotee, because there is a great necessity of this for everyone's well-being. The Pandava family was a family of devotees, and therefore the Lord wanted them to rule the world. That was the reason he vanquished the rule of the company of Duryodhana, and especially the rule of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, he also wanted to protect Maharaj Prickett, who was lying in embryo. He did not like the idea that the world should be without the Pandavas, the ideal family of devotees. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Mulutam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namah Yute Tanya Mano Bhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Upasindhu Bhayevucha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'm back. It just seems that the reception I have here, it sometimes drops, so hopefully I'll be right back. So, okay, I should have better reception now. So, you come to visit the people that are here, and here you have such a rich experience, and you understand that real happiness is your mind, your emotional mood, your emotional your feelings. And happiness is when those feelings are love. And it's thick. It's something that should consume us. It's not just a thought. Emotions are something that go on beyond our thoughts. When we have an emotion, we are in that emotion. So Krishna consciousness means that we are in that emotion. We're in that emotion of devotion. And you get a drop of that here. And because really, there's nothing but spiritual life intensely from morning to evening. And the people that are here are in that same exact mood. So I always pray during Kartik that let me just keep this mood for the whole year. Anyway, let's go to the story. The battle of Kurukshetra has just ended. The families are doing the funeral ceremony. And then the last member of the Pandava family which is Maharaj Prickett in the womb of Uttara, is now being threatened by a Brahmastra, which is an atomic smart bomb. It's directed at her womb, and she's taking shelter of Krishna. And that's one of the main qualities to enhance devotion. We were just in our Upade Shamrita class, the seventh verse, Utsayan Nistya Daryat, Nishchayat, that we have a certain confidence at all that Krishna will protect. We just have that confidence, and it's the main quality of a devotee, that he has that realization of God, and he feels completely sheltered, and he knows not a blade of grass moves without God's will, and that God especially protects his surrendered devotee. We have full confidence, and that he reciprocates, because God is personal. And personal means means love. A person can reciprocate fully in love. That's the basis of bhakti. That's why bhakti is called the path of grace, because it's not just ascending to God, but our ascent towards God in devotion, our movement towards God, our efforts in bhakti to please God are reciprocated. And therefore, that reciprocation from God, which is mercy, allows us to achieve way beyond our capacity or capability. Tesham satiti yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam yena mamu. For one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come. So there's an inclination towards devotees that's does not belie his impartiality. Impartiality means that one will only reciprocate with certain people based on certain material conceptions. That's impartiality. But God will reciprocate with anyone equally as they surrender to him. Impartiality doesn't mean that someone neglects you and someone surrenders to you and you reciprocate with them equally. It means no. Whoever surrenders to you, you reciprocate. And that's stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeyata mam papajyante tam sitaiva bhajamyaham mamavartante. That whoever surrenders to me, as they surrender to me, I reward accordingly. Samham sarvabhuteshu name dveshasanapya. God says, I'm equal to everyone, I don't hate and I like, but for my devotees. I believe that's the purport what Prabhupada says, that God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. So, and especially, he's inclined to protect those pure devotees, because the world needs them so much. We cannot underestimate the effect of just one pure devotee has on the world. It's such a power when you can stand before God and Guru and actually give yourself fully within your heart. That's where our enthusiasm should be. Utsahan. What should our enthusiasm be? Our enthusiasm should be for truth. We should be so eager for for truth. Not just we want, but what is right. And what is right is beyond what we want. What we want can be right, but the reason it is right is not because we want it. It's because there is an absolute, supreme, absolute God, which includes goodness, which sets standards in the world. So the sincerity of someone is his eagerness is for truth. And that's how one finds a guru. He goes into the heart, and he sincerely wants to. These are the six qualities. These are one, the first of the six qualities that enhance bhakti. It's that eagerness to that eagerness to surrender to truth. The eagerness to accept duty before self. I remember Tom Wolfe, that great American essayist, I guess. He wrote one satire on, I guess, one of the previous generations. Maybe my generation or something. You know, my father's generation was called the greatest generation because they went to war and you know, they saved the world from Hitler. I think my generation is called the me generation, where there was a growth of self-centeredness. And he made the point that one would never understand duty before self. So in spiritual life, when you have that eagerness for truth, which is transcendent, and to connect to that, which is from a higher plane, that's essential to bhakti. And that actually is what the quality of humility is also. Because humility is to have a taste for that. A taste for truth. A taste for submission to truth. Which is a taste for the admission that something is higher than me. To actually like that. And want to serve that. That's humility. Remember, I had a friend. He had an old guru. He's very, very scholarly. He's a very great Vaishnava. And then my friend was describing it, when he went to the doctor, he completely submitted to the doctor humbly, like, you know, surrender. It was the nature of a saintly person. The nature to surrender to authority. And I remember when I was giving my class in the Bhakti Center, Satari, one very nice gentleman that was kind of scholarly and coming to the Nectar of Devotion class, say the difference with translation is that English words are pregnant with history. So authority means abuse, not expert or shelter or representative of God. And surrender means force rather than taking shelter. Sharanagati means the type of surrender of a child in the arms of their mother. That is their shelter. And they're happy in that shelter, and they're guided by that shelter. And people who do this, who actually have that confidence, they become full instruments for God in the most wonderful way. They're surrendered to God, and they're moved by the energy of God. So here it says, specifically, Krishna
was to save those devotees because he wanted them to rule the world. And he didn't like it, the idea of the world without the Pandavas, who were the ideal family of devotees. It's such a great loss when a great soul departs. There's so many hearts they can touch. There's so many people they can inspire. So Krishna was specifically inclined to protect Maharaj Prickett. And we can see, you know, every place needs leadership. And when it doesn't, everyone suffers. If you have a temple and you don't have a good leader, everyone suffers. Your whole spiritual life is affected. And same thing with the world. The world requires a good leader. A Mahabhagavat, the leader of the world should be a Mahabhagavat, because the leader has to satisfy everyone within reason. And people have so many contradictory desires. So it takes someone at the highest platform to actually have the subtlety of intelligence, the faith of their, the conviction of their faith, and the determination for the implementation of that. It's just so rare. And when we see such persons, we should worship them and get their mercy and pray we can become them. So here, this is for the world, that Maharaj Prickett wouldn't be there. So hard to find a leader. Okay, next verse. Tarayevata muni shreshta pandava panchasayakam atmano bimukam tiptam alakshyasra yupadito. Foremost among the great seeing thinkers, munis, Shonaka, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. The Brahmastras are finer than nuclear weapons. Ashvatthama discharged the Brahmastra simply to kill the Pandavas, namely the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira and their only grandson, who is lying within the womb of Uttara. Therefore, the Brahmastra, more effective and finer than the atomic weapons, was not as blind as the atomic bombs. When the atomic bombs are discharged, they do not discriminate between the target and others. Mainly, the atomic bombs do harm to the innocent because there is no control. The Brahmastra is not like that. It marks out the target and proceeds accordingly without harming the innocent. So it's the predecessor of the smart bombs. And to us, this seems impossible. But what mysticism is certain laws that are commonly not understood or difficult to actually perceive, but they're still laws. So, the Brahmastra is released. Okay. Yasanam viksha tatesham ananya vishayatmanam sudarshanena swastrena swanam raksham vyadadibhu. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger is befalling his unalloyed devotees who are fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshana disc to protect them. The Brahmastra, the supreme weapon released by Ashvatthama, was something similar to the nuclear weapon, but with more radiation and heat. This Brahmastra is the product of a more subtle science, being the product of finer sound, a mantra recorded in the Vedas. Another advantage of this weapon is that it is not blind like the nuclear weapon, because it can be directed only to the target and nothing else. Ashvatthama released the weapon just to finish all the male members of the Pandavas family. Therefore, in one sense, it was more dangerous than the atomic bomb, because it could penetrate even the most protected place and never miss a target. Knowing all this, Lord Krishna once took up his personal weapon to protect his devotees who did not know anyone other than Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has clearly promised his devotees are never vanquished, and he behaves according to the quality or degree of the devotional service rendered by the devotees. Here the word ananya vishayatmanam is significant. The Pandavas were 100% dependent on the protection of the Lord, although they were all great warriors themselves. But the Lord neglects even the greatest warriors and also vanishes them in no time. When the Lord saw that there was no time for the Pandavas to counteract the Brahmastra of Ashvatthama, he took up his weapon even at the risk of breaking his own vow. Although the battle of Kurukshetra was almost finished, still, according to his vow, he should not take up his own weapon. But the emergency was more important than the vow. He is better known as Bhaktivatsala, or the lover is devotee, and thus he preferred to continue his Bhaktivatsala, rather than be a worldly moralist who never breaks his modern vow, his solemn vow. So Krishna now will take up to protect even though he promised not to take up a weapon in the war. But his promise not to take up the weapon in the war is actually potentially belying another promise he made, and that's that his devotee will never be perished. One time, Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Bhai Bhav Poy Maharaj, came to the Krishna Balaram Mandir to speak. And afterwards, we sat with him, and there's little pujari rooms next to the temple, and we sat with him. And it was about 30 years ago, 25 years ago. So at that time, you know, we were just getting words on the success of the Russian preaching. The success of the Russian preaching. And we told him, and he just looked at us, and of all Prabhupada's godbrothers, perhaps he was the one that was most supportive and Prabhupada in that level of esteem. And he said, yes, it must be true, because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that declare it boldly, my devotees will never perish. And he said that also means the words of a devotee. So he said that if Prabhupada said that, you know, communist countries will be Krishna conscious, then Krishna is bound. And this is such a beautiful concept, and it's the essence of bhakti, that our God, who is God, is a loving God. It means that he reciprocates love. Under the protection of the Lord, they took complete shelter, and God reciprocates love. That's his glory. and that's the glory of anyone. And, you know, truthfulness is so important. Giving your word is so important. And we know in, you know, cultured people, and especially around that time, especially even 40, 50 years ago, I knew people, Indian people, there's just so much, some scars, so much impression from reading the Mahabharata and the vow of Bhishma, you know, lifelong celibate, how many people, you know, the glory of people make meeting their words. So we know that truth was such a quality, it was such an impression, such an attraction to truth, such an aversion to. We know people like that who will die for the truth. So people were created like that. And therefore, once they gave a vow, then that vow, that commitment, that samskara, that I must keep my word, was more powerful than any other impression in their consciousness. And specifically, society was geared to give us those samskaras, to be adhered to truth, because it's so important in spiritual life. Commitment and the nature and internal makeup to follow our commitments was such an important part of the previous spiritual culture in India. And it's such an important thing in our own life. Even Krishna's father was glorified when he was trying to protect his wife from Kamsa. Kamsa was about to kill his wife, Devaki, and he didn't know what to do. And finally he said, well, it's not my wife that will kill you, it's their children, I'll bring all the children to you. So what's the problem? And Kamsa believed him, because and the purport prophet said, there's nothing too difficult for man in the discharge of his duty. When Raghunath Das Goswami made vows in his spiritual practice, they would describe them as the lines on a stone. And you can see how weak your spiritual life is when, you know, you can just rationalize any way, any austerity you have to make, any commitment you have to make. Maya just plays with us so that we never get serious. Plays with us so that we never get serious. So it's so important to keep our word and follow truth. It's the path to spiritual life. Imagine if we make all our commitments, how powerful we become. But there's a principle that's higher than satyam, and that's ahimsa. Ahimsa is the first and foremost quality of yoga, or the mental discipline, because if you can't, the science of mental discipline is yoga. Because if you can't control your mind in relationship to others, how will you control your mind in relationship to yourself? And if you can't do that, then how will you meditate? But the first principle is nonviolence. And that supersedes any other moral quality. For example, truthfulness. If you're hiding someone from the Nazis and the Nazis come in and say, have you seen him? And you say, you know, I never break my word, here he is. Then you're participating in nonviolence in the name of truthfulness. So there's always a hierarchy of moral obligations. So the highest moral obligation is nonviolence. And what to speak of towards his devotees. And a mother can do anything to save her child, even if she has to lie to save her child. But the main point here is this is bhakti. Bhakti means that God loves you. Not just we love God. God loves us. And in his love, he reciprocates. You know, I when I'm walking around Govardhan, because I gave a seminar, it's like a resort here. It's a beautiful resort. When Sham Das already said it's like Aspen, Colorado. And it's a 20-minute walk down the road. It's right on the Prikram path. And it's beautiful stone pathways and beautiful cottages and one section after a section with cottages with such open space between the cottages and different places and golf carts, believe it or not, that can take you to the places. And there's about 100 Russians there. And I was giving class every day. And well, I gave class twice, and I was telling the story of Krishna entering into Vrindavan. And it was such a nice atmosphere for the people there to do a little meditation on that. And I created a visual of Krishna entering Vrindavan, which is not just a visual. It's not that. It's not just a painting. It's a movie. It's not just a painting. It's the people's emotions. I just was reading a book by William Gladwell called Blink. And it's about the science. It's a sociological study, basically, of quick decisions. And one chapter is about face reading, and that there are actually common signs on the face that indicate emotions and attitude. And it's about these people who discovered it. And they could look at somebody and, you know, immediately tell if they're lying, immediately think anything, if they were suicidal. It was just the science of it. But then they describe that what autism is that people don't have the ability to read people's minds. So they never know what, they can't act socially because they just don't know what a person means by his face, by his actions. They did an experiment where even someone pointed to a painting, and then they asked them which painting is, an autistic person just can't even see that sign. And that's why they seem so awkward socially. Because they don't have any ability to read minds. So they had these studies of autistic people watching movies, and they couldn't understand the emotional makeup of the movie. The point I'm making here is, you know, I had this realization of meditating on Krishna's pastimes. When you meditate on Krishna's pastimes, you're meditating also, you're seeing in those pastimes how Krishna is feeling and what he's thinking towards his devotees. And how the devotees are feeling about Krishna. But it's a relationship, it's reciprocal. So we can meditate on the pastimes, we meditate on the cowherd boys, not just their joy and their devotion and their singing and their playing, but how much they are feeling Krishna's love. And every single resident of the spiritual world, pure devotee, is feeling Krishna's love because he's a person. And therefore, he reciprocates and protects the surrendered devotees. And that's more important to him than his word. And in one sense, that's the most important thing. Really, the most important thing is relationship. The most important thing is the flow of love. It's the most important thing in reality. It's the most important thing in community. It's the most important thing in a Hare Krishna congregation. It's successful when is love. So it says here Krishna is going to reciprocate, even though he gave his word that he won't pick up his weapon. Okay, are there any questions? You see, here I get up. Yeah, one second. I'll be right there. Yeah, Gail, I'll be right with you. I get up at 1:30, so right now it's literally the end of the night for me. So that's the way the classes are. So it's a little bit more struggle because when there's fatigue, when you get a flow of thought, you forget it. But yeah. So anyway, Gail, yes, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the fact that Krishna is our well-wisher, meaning that he wants to promote our spiritual life. And so when you said that, it's so detrimental for society when a great soul leaves, it made me wonder why he would ever allow that to happen.
Yeah, right. Of course, this is Leela. Obviously, if you want to look at it, the highest platform, of course, God does what is best, and everything is best, from an intellectual platform. But here, this is from an intellectual platform, God always does what is best. But there's a sentiment also. I mean, yeah, why is he protecting Maharaj Prickett? I mean, why doesn't he just do everything indirectly? It's like when the cowherd, the calves went, why didn't Krishna just bring them back by his mystic path? He just went to search for him because this is also Leela. This is also Krishna Leela. So he's demonstrating his love for his devotees by protecting them. So why doesn't he? Well, he can do that in a million ways, but he wants to do it himself. Just like Krishna went out to get the cows and the calves, to get the calves and the cowherd boys. He went to get the calves first. He went. He's reciprocating. He wants to do that personally. So management, you can delegate. Love, you can't delegate. You please love that person on my behalf. Love is you do personally. So God is doing that personally. Anything else, Gail?
Well, I mean, I think that explanation, tells us why he would come himself. But, like, for example, when Srila Prabhupada left, so many things seem to have fallen apart,
Right.
I mean, is that Leela? I mean, to say, how was that beneficial, really?
Well, I mean, God, it's the glorification of the devotee also. If he was so great and he left and everything just went better, then, what would be the question of his glories? So in this chaos, it indicates... What were you going to say?
It just seems like that glorification comes at the price of our welfare.
No, because everyone has their own karma. And whatever happens to people is also best. So when you want to look at it and extract it from that platform and take it out of the platform of Leela and the exchange of love, everything is operating perfectly for everyone. So why even God has to come? Why does he have to send his devotee? Why did, everything go on automatically. So there's two things that are happening. One, yes, his devotees act as instruments to execute his will, but he also demonstrates the glory of his devotees. And he gives them service. But otherwise, he's God. He can do anything. So whatever he does is perfect. So simultaneously, it's the greatest loss, obviously, when a great devotee leaves. But also, in God's plan, it's meant to be in its best anyway.
Okay, so I guess the loss is just apparent. It's not actual.
It's actual. The loss is actual. But it's also meant to be. The loss is actual. Of course it's actual. How much?
If you're in the last car of the train, you must walk forward to the highway. The last car of the doors will not open.
What's going on?
I'm sorry, Maharaj. I'm on the train. I'll mute the phone.
Yeah, I got it. I couldn't. That's okay. I'm already tired and I lose my train of thought by hearing the train there.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Let me see if I can remember.
I'm muted.
Okay, but it was a very subtle.
Okay.
We'll go on because it's such a subtle point. I was about to get into it distracted. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, thank you so much. When do you
thank
arrive
you for
in Vrindavan?
Say again?
When do you arrive in Vrindavan?
The evening of, or the afternoon of Christmas Eve, the 24th of December.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Puri, obeisances. Thank you.
I love all these studies. And I'm getting letters from people that so many people are listening to the podcast, too. And they want me to know that, you know, so many people listening that way. Well, thank you. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class.
Is that Abhinanda?
No.
Gordon. Who's that? Hey, Gordon
from Poughkeepsie.
Gordon from Poughkeepsie. Yes, Haribo, Gordon. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, people are struggling to mute. Not. I should get to bed because I have to get up so early anyway. Okay, Hare Krishna.